Ephesians 3, I began reading this, prepare to preach from it or teach the Bible study, whichever. There's so much here. This speaks of the mystery of Christ and then the unsearchable riches of Christ. I thought, my, those two things, that deserves a message by itself. And we will, Lord willing, next Wednesday night look at the mystery and riches that are Christ. But this one thought really spoke to me in verse 6. So let's read from verse 1 to verse 6. For this cause, that is for the Gentiles' sake, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given, which is given to me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. This mystery which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And this is it, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That's us. And of the same body and partakers of his promise, God's promise in Christ by the gospel. You know, years and years and years ago when God first made this, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's the Jews, not Gentiles. But we're partakers of this promise now. But that one line, that one statement, this promise of God in Christ. Now, there are many promises. Peter wrote, he said he's given us many exceeding precious promises. There are many promises. We just sang of those promises, some of them. But they're all one because they're all in Christ. It's all speaking of this salvation. That's what it's talking about. It's all in Christ. Be loved by him, be kept by him, to be led by the, given the Spirit, lead and guide and direct and provide. It's all because of Christ, in Christ. So this is a very simple message. It'll be a very simple message and very easy to follow along and should be very short. Put my timer on. All right, very simple outline. 4 points. And it's hard for me to preach on a thought or a word or one verse. I usually preach verse by verse. This is what my pastor recommended us young fellows do. It's what I recommended these men do. But every now and then, something will just speak to you, and you can't get away from it. This promise. All right, who made this promise? Number one, who made this promise? Number two, when did he make it? Number three, what is his promise? And number four, why did he make it? All right? Now, first of all, a promise. A promise means it. Webster's Dictionary. It's the declaration of something that will be done. It's to declare something that will be done or not done. Promise not to do something. Okay? It also means it's a declaration or assurance that something's going to be given. A promise to give you this. By one person. It also means the expressed assurance that you can expect to receive what is promised. Did you hear that? That's why I like just looking at the dictionary. It's assurance that you can expect to receive something that's promised. All right? It all depends on it. Who made this promise? Look at Titus chapter 1. All right? Who made this promise? We just read it there in Ephesians. But look at this in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, an acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Right there we have the answer to all those questions. There are three of them. All right? God made this promise, who cannot lie. God who cannot lie. Turn to Hebrews 6 with me. You'll like that. Hebrews chapter 6. You'll like them all. Now, you know, man makes promises, and he may mean well, but man doesn't have the ability to fulfill his promises. He may intend to keep a promise. He may want a desire to keep a promise, but we don't have, we can say, I promise to do this, but we just don't know what's going to prevent us from doing that. As you know, there are many men, particularly politicians, who make promises they have no intention of keeping whatsoever. They just want your vote. They're liars. Sunday's radio message, let God be true, every man a liar. A man may make a promise. I consider myself an honest person. If I'm not, you shouldn't be listening to me. But if I promised to do something for you, you'd believe me, wouldn't you? You'd take me at my word. But I may not be able to do it. I may call you and say, Brother Stephen, I know I promised to be there, but I'm running late. That's just the way it is. Not God. Nothing affects his promise. Nothing. We're going to see that. God cannot lie, and he has the power to fulfill it. What he promises, he will do. The gifts and callings of God are what? Without repentance. That means he won't take it back. What he says, he will do. There's an old saying that a man is only as good as his word. Right? That used to be. You don't hear it anymore. Because nobody hardly is. But a man is only as good as his word, or a woman. And somebody says this, you have my word on it. It used to mean something, not anymore. Well, it means something when God says it. God says that concerning his promise. You have my word on it. God is true to his word. Always. Scripture even says he has magnified his word above his name. He cannot lie what he promised. And it even says that he has a name on his thigh. What is that name? The Word. That's his name. He's true to his word. Okay? Ephesians 6, verse 13. When God made promise to Abraham, he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. Hebrews 6, 13. We're told not to swear by heaven or anything, but God did. He did. Who did? You know, I haven't been in a witness in a court of law. I don't know if I could make that promise. Do you swear to tell the whole? I don't know if I could do that. They put your hand on the Bible. I don't know if I could do that. I'd have to conscientiously object or something. Or maybe I'd say that by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you the truth. But God swore by his own name. That's his name, the Word. He keeps his word. He's true to his word. What he says, he will do. What he promises, he will do. He will do. The promise is sure because of who made it. Here's the point. The promise is sure because of who made it. All right. To whom did he make this promise? Who made the promise and to whom? To Christ. This was a promise, a covenant. An agreement made between God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit. But God promised this to his Son, a covenant agreement, a promise, a covenant made between God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Much, much later, when all of us are born and God gives us this gift of faith, the promise is to us. Right? The promise is to us. The promise is to you. Peter wrote, preached at Pentecost. The promise is to you and to your children, as many as believe. It's to you. So the promise is to us. But this promise is not asking us to do anything to fulfill it. This promise is not conditioned on us doing anything, not even faith. Faith's conditioned on the promise. It's not us keeping the promise. Now, he comes to us and, now you promised to be faithful. That's not what he says. What he does, he comes and promises that he'll be faithful. When he came to Jacob, and Abraham, Jacob, that's what he said, didn't he? This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do for you. And he told him everything he was going to do for him. He didn't ask Jacob anything. He didn't ask Abraham anything. Boy, oh boy. This is just wonderful. The promise. And the promise really is just revealed to us. It's not asking us. It's telling us. It's not asking for our agreement. It's just telling us about an agreement he made. And we're in on it. We have no part in it. All right? So who made this promise? God made this promise. With whom? Christ. It's between them. Whatever he promised, it's all up to them. All right, when did he make this promise? Titus 2, again, Titus 1, verse 2, it says, before the world began. Promise of eternal life before the world began. 2 Timothy, Brother Don Bell, 2 Timothy, I want you to see that. Brother Don's eyes light up when you mention this scripture. Don was a Pentecostal preacher, so-called. Chandelier swinging, pew jumping, hopping, tongue talking, Pentecostal preacher, so-called. Did you know that, Don Bell? And he started hearing the gospel from men like Henry Mahan and others. And it was shaking his world. It was tearing his world up, turning his religion inside out. And he said he was reading this one day, 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and 9. He said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. The gospel. Now here he's going to tell us what the gospel is. The gospel is according to the power of God. God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Don said, that just blew my religion out of the water. It's not by works of righteousness. That's what you quoted in your prayer. It's by Christ's work. All according to God's promise. So you see, this promise was made before we were even born. Listen to this. I'm telling you, you couldn't hear a more comforting or assuring message than this. Listen to Romans 9. It says, now the children of the flesh, Israel, they're not the children of God. The children of the promise. Okay? Accounted for the seed. Here's the promise. At this time, I'll come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this. You know, Sarah had two sons, Abraham and Isaac. But only one of them was God's child. It's Isaac, a miracle child, which represents Christ. And not only this, but Rebekah, Isaac's wife. You remember how he got her for a wife. That's another wonderful story. But Rebekah, when she conceived, she had twins, Jacob and Esau. All right? These children, not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. That's us. And when they were both born, they both did evil, didn't they? All right? That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that called it. It was said to her, promised to her. The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved. Now you know what Jacob was. You know what Jacob did, what all Jacob did. We've studied the whole life of Jacob many times. But God made a promise, didn't he? And he kept it. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not, therefore Can you quote the rest of it? You sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why? He made a promise. A promise. So we, and here's the point. Galatians 3, let's go back there. Galatians 3, we read that. John read it. Did you catch this, you men, as we were reading this, and you ladies tonight? It said that nothing can annul this promise. Nothing, not even the law. Not even you breaking it can nullify this promise. Isn't that good news? Why is that good news? That's not good news to a religious person, you know, self-righteous, because they think they keep the law. Paul thought he kept the law. Oh, it's good news to the sinner, isn't it? We know we break every point. We don't try to, don't want to, but we just, the law is spiritual. We know that. It requires perfection. Look at Galatians 3, verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. If a man makes a covenant, though it be a man's covenant, if it's confirmed, nobody can change it. All right? Or add to it. That's just a man's covenant. If you buy a piece of property, you'll have the title search, and you'll have it recorded in the courthouse and all that. You go through all the legal process, and nobody can do anything. I can't take one inch of your ground. I don't care what they say. Have my Uncle Bill, he promised to Aunt Sue, give it to my cousin Joe. It's on the books. It's in the law. You can't change it. Yeah, but no buts about it. All right? So that's a man's covenant. What about God? And he goes to a great length to talk about the law came after the covenant. This covenant was made before the law. And so he made it to Abraham before the law was given, so it wasn't dependent on Abraham keeping the law, was it? It's dependent on God keeping his promise. And the law was given to show us the sinfulness of sin. And that points us to Christ. Okay? You understand that much? I know you do. But this was all done before we were born, done before we had our existence, and between God the Father and God the Son. And the scripture, we've looked at Ephesians 2, talks about us being children of wrath. And even while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's all according to promise. And Ephesians 6, you don't have to keep turning, but I should have had you stay there. But listen to this. Talked about God swearing by no greater than himself. And he said this in Hebrews 6. He said this. He said, men swear by the greater. An oath for a confirmation is to them an end of all strife. But God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things it's impossible for God to lie. What's that? We sing that song. His oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming blood. Immutable. What does that mean? Unchangeable. It can't be changed. Like when God blessed Jacob. That's another story I'd like to look at again. Jacob's mother, you know, dressed him up like the son who had the right to the inheritance. And that's another message. But anyway, so the father blessed the one who didn't have a right to it, because he looked like, smelled like, and he bought the savory meat of the son who had the right, Esau. Okay? And then the father blessed him. Well, then Esau came back later and said, bless. He said, undo it. He said, I can't. He said, I blessed him and he'll be blessed. I won't change it. I have to go back on my word. You see, God cannot lie. All right. Who made this promise? God did. To whom? To Christ. The Holy Spirit to go round up these people. When? Before the world began. for the law, for anything, for the children being born, done any good or evil, for anybody did anything, God said, this is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. All right? What is this promise? Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Eternal life. Eternal life. Christ said this, I give unto them eternal life. Didn't it? Eternal life. It's a gift. 1 John 5 says, he that hath the Son hath life. Hath life. Not shall have life. Hath life. What does that mean? He that hath the need for Christ. He that hath faith in Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith. I believe. I don't believe like I want to believe, but I do believe. There was a time I didn't believe. What are you? There's a time you didn't believe. A time you had no need for Christ, had no faith in Christ, and now you do. Where did you get that? God. Not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And that's according to the promise. God says, I'm going to give them faith. I'm going to make them hunger. I'm going to suffer them to hunger. Hunger and thirst. Eternal. I give unto them eternal life. What kind of life is this? It's eternal. It means it never can end. Nothing can end it. Who shall separate it from the love of God in Christ? Life? Death? No. It's eternal. It's eternal. It's forever. It's unending. It's unceasing. It's not only the extent of it, but it's the quality of it. Life. Life. More abundant. Christ said. Far and above and beyond what we can imagine or even think of life to be. Now listen. We live in this world and we enjoy some things. Eating and drinking and enjoy one another and experience these things. The physical life. Okay? There's a new creature created in Christ Jesus, inside of every believer, that's been given a new nature to love the things of God. It wasn't there before. And what we eat and what we drink is the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I'm standing up here just talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading about Him. Same thing. Same thing. Here you are again. Here you are back again for the same thing. Same bread, same water, same milk, same meat, same message. You must have this life. This is how He makes us fit or meet to be partakers with the angels in life. He gives us this new. And, you know, we can't hold much right now. We like it. We love it. We take it in. I like that. And then our minds drift off. We love it, don't you? You love to sit here and hear the gospel and read the word of God, but you just can't, you can't do it very well, can you? Why? There's something that gets in the way. Flesh. Sin. We do enjoy the things of God. We think on the things of God. But this flesh, this sin gets in the way. Oh, God promised. You're going to have life more abundant. It's going to be a time, no more flesh to get in the way. No more sin to bother you ever again. Are you talking about singing? We're never going to quit singing. Our flesh gets tired of singing. Our flesh, we're self-conscious. We won't be them. We'll all be singing at the top of our lungs, from the bottom of our heart. Because God promised a new creation wherein dwelleth righteousness, joy. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. We eat and drink. We laugh. We like to laugh in this life, don't we? I like laughter. Laughter is good for you. I like to hear some of you laugh. some of you have such particular laughs. It makes me laugh when I hear you laugh. But this laughter. I've been laughing all night. What's that about? Nobody told a joke. Here it is. When the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them that dream. I'm living a dream. It's too good to be true. No, this is the only thing that's not too good to be true. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. We're so glad. So glad. Joy unspeakable. There's going to be a day like more abundant. We will have joy unspeakable, full of glory in the Lord, in His temple. Enjoying His word, singing His song, enjoying one another, worshiping as we've never worshiped before, full of glory. We're going to see Him. And we can't have that fullness now because sin gets in the way. So He says this promise of eternal life. All right, who's it for? This promise is for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What this is a promise of salvation by grace through faith. Not what you do, not what you are, not what you promise to do, but who you believe. Who you believe. Who do you believe? Who do you rest your salvation on? Who is your hope of eternal life? Who is all your assurance and hope and peace and salvation? Who is your salvation? What is your salvation? Not a what is it. It's Christ. You ask every believer and they'll give you one word. Christ is my hope. Oh, that's a good hope. Good hope. John, you knew I was going to quote Romans 4:6, didn't you? Listen to this. He said, it's by faith, and that's by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure all the seed. But I don't have much faith. Oh, but you have faith. Well, a little bit. Mustard seed is faith. Abraham had great faith, didn't he? Huh? Lot didn't have much. Who's more saved? Ain't no such thing as more saved. God promised those that believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Promise. God promised to love us. I will love them freely. Sovereign love, free love, forever love. I will love them free. I've loved you with an everlasting love, he said to his people. Therefore, I'm going to let you go. Like a wee from them. I won't let you go. He let him go a little bit, but he said, I'm coming after you. Promised to love us, promised to provide all things for us, provide everything. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with that unspeakable gift freely give us all things? What are we worried about? As we said a few weeks ago, we're worried about a house payment when Christ made a sin payment of his own precious blood. Don't worry about this minor thing. All things. He promised to give us the Holy Spirit and him that's able to keep us from what? He promised to keep us from falling away forever. I know I'm going to be lost someday. I just know it. I'm such a sinner. Not if God promised. You let you fall like old Noah, you know. 6 months after he'd been in the ark, he tripped and fell, and he didn't fall out of the ark. He couldn't get out. Why? He shut up. That's what we read. Shut up. Shut in. Isn't that good news? Sealed. Ephesians 1. Okay, why? 27 minutes. Why did God make such promises? Why would God do this to such unworthy creatures, such sinners, such rebels against Him? Why would He do this? Why would He make such a promise to people that don't deserve it? Only one answer. Because He's God. For His glory. Ephesians 2 says that in the ages to come, He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace to us through Christ Jesus. We know a little bit about that now. But we're going to know a lot about it then. Yeah, we're going to sing. Oh, my. It's for His glory. It's for Christ's sake. He said to Christ in that covenant, that promise before the world began, Son, if you... Now, this is what the Scripture said. We know God is, you know, not like us. But, Son, I'm going to give you a people I've chosen, I've loved. I'm going to give them to you. And you're going to go down to earth and you're going to live for them. They have broken my law and you're going to live according to my holy law. You must honor my law. My people have broken it. They've dishonored me. They profane my name. You go down and magnify my law and magnify my name and glorify me in everything you do as a man. They're covenant head. And I'm going to give you these people. You're going to do that for them. You're their covenant head. You're the second Adam. Will you do this? You know, when you and Joseph stood up here not long ago, I caught myself. I'm going to change the vows from now on. I did it this time. I said, by the grace of God, do you promise? Did you catch that? You used to say, do you promise in the sight of God? By the grace of God, do you promise? Okay? And you all did. And you hope God will give you the grace to fulfill that. Okay? Christ promised. He said, I'll do it. As the husband of His wife. As the husband of His bride. All of them were forlorn. Will you promise to go down there and be a true and faithful and loving husband? Provide for her and do for her and lay down your life for her in sickness and health and death? Will you do this? Christ said, I will. Do you love her? I do. That's the one. He's the one that made this promise. And so God said, for your sake, if you do this, I'm going to receive every single one that comes to me by you. Every single one of these people that believe and trust you, no matter how filthy a sinner they are, no matter what they've ever done in their life, if they come to you and ask for forgiveness to me, through you, I will frankly, freely, completely, 100%, forever and finally, unchangeably, immutably, pardon all their sins, wipe them out, blot them out, and nobody can do anything about it. For Christ, for your sake. Then, son, if you do all this, and I know you will, you're going to come back and sit down at my right hand where you reign over everything, and I'm going to give you the whole universe. It's yours. It belongs to you. So it's for Christ's sake. That's why I did. For Christ's sake. And I can say this from Scripture. For His great love wherewith He loved us. He did it for us. He made this promise for us. Said there, and I read Psalm 78. He said, remember that they were just flesh. They were just flesh. They kept forgetting. They kept wandering and all that. He said, nevertheless, He remembered for them. He remembered His covenant. He couldn't forget His covenant. He made this covenant for them. They couldn't remember. Can't forget. Why? Because let me close it with Brother David. David, you listening? With what he keeps telling us, and it's so true. He did this for Christ's sake. He did it for His glory. He did it for Christ's sake. And He did it for our sake. He did it for that great love wherewith He loved His people. God really and truly is out to do you good. He's promised. I'm going to do you good. It's all going to be good. Just trust me on this. Okay, stand with me.